This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand.
See Live Off the Record with Shivago Lang is sponsored by Advantage Insurance, the Cleft of the Rock Foundation, the Cleveland Clinic, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, RF Bank and Trust, and Royal Star Assurance.
Welcome, ladies and live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. I got it right today, right? Yeah. So glad you could join us. Give us a call. The numbers to do so are 323-623-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 4259. You can text us on 4224796. That's 4224796. Or you can WhatsApp or 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahama 69. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. I would be ignoring the elephant in the room not to comment on the Supreme Court ruling regarding the divorce petition of a woman in relation to claims that she felt like a rape victim in her marriage, given the way she was forced to have sex with her husband. And a petition, it seems, by the husband, that he felt that it was cruel of his wife not to perform her marital duties in having regular sex with him, or sex as he wished it. And the courts ruled that, not surprising to me, the courts ruled that in the strict reading of the laws of the Bahamas today, you cannot rape your spouse. There is no such thing as rape within a marriage. But the courts also found, the judge ruled, that what the woman described as this forcible sex with her husband was that she had grounds for cruelty. So both parties were claiming cruelty in treatment in their divorce petitions. Now, I have to tell you, this story is loaded. It is loaded. It is loaded. I am not going to have the debate about whether there is rape in a marriage or not, because under the laws of the Bahamas, there is not. The Bahamas joins many a countries in the developing world in not criminalizing marital rape. At present, according to one study, more than 2 billion women live in countries where marital rape is not a crime. Do you hear me? The vast majority of women live in countries where marital rape is not a crime. The only places where marital rape is partially criminalized or wholly criminalized tend to be developed countries. I'm not saying there aren't developing countries, but there are. They tend to be developed countries. But lots and lots of women live in countries where marital rape is not a crime. So I'm not debating whether marital rape is a crime or not, because under our laws, it's not. It's not. It is not a crime, right? That's why there is advocacy for the laws to change so that it can be a crime. So there's no debate there. But I am intrigued that the judge ruled that forcing your wife, well, force in the circumstance of the petitioner, forcing her to have sex, right? And you know, from what I read in the stories, she didn't claim any particular brutality associated with it and so forth, just that she was forced to, and described how he would ready himself, hop on her, do his business, and that was the end of it. So in how we would ordinarily see cruelty, that was not the impression I got. But the judge ruled that insofar as he continuously had sex with her when she did not want it, that was cruel. And that is a game changer. That's a game changer. Okay? Bro. Sir. Ma'am. If you force your husband or wife to have sex, you are being cruel, according to this ruling. Cruel. And cruelty is grounds for divorce. You ain't going to go to jail. Nobody's going to haul you before the courts. But there's grounds for divorce. Now, I have to say, so this text says no marital rape in India and China. That's half the word right there. You got it right, bro. Got it right. Right? But I have to say this, though. So now forcing your spouse to have sex is regarded as cruel and grounds for divorce. But I have a question. And please, somebody, you all help me with this. Please help me with this. Please help me with this. Unless both of you agree that this is okay, why would you stay in a sexless marriage if you want sex? Okay, let me put it like this, right? I'm just saying, and I'm not, listen, you no one knows anyone's particular heart, motivations, etc. So I can't get into the husband or the wife's heads or hearts about their particular situation. I'm asking a general question. A general question. You're a husband. You want to have sex with your wife. Repeatedly, she does not want to have sex with you. Now, if there's not a biological reason known to you, if there is not a psychological reason known to you, if there is not some impediment which you know and both know to cause her not to want to have sex with you. If she is not having sex with you because she don't trust you, if she's not having sex with you because she don't love you, if she doesn't have sex with you because she has some resentment towards you, and if that is a consistent pattern in your marriage, if forcing yourself on that woman is grounds for divorce, like what would make you stay in that marriage? If a woman is, listen, when a woman don't have sex with you, bro, the emotional ties is really broken. I mean, unless there's some other biological, as I said, physiological, psychological reasons that is driving her. But in the course of a normal relationship, heterosexual relationship, or even homosexual relationship, I imagine, I don't know. If your spouse, if your partner is not interested in intimacy with you, the most fundamental part of your relationship is broken. That's the emotional connection that makes her want to give the most intimate part of her to you, or him to give the most intimate part of him to you. When that is broken, there is time to look very seriously at the sustainability of the relationship, as to whether or not there needs to be more work to be done. Whether or not there needs, the lady said in the circumstance in the court, that, well, he said in the circumstance, of course, she didn't want to do marital counseling, et cetera. I mean, what he described was all the signs of a absolute brokenness of a relationship in a circumstance like that, right? Where the intimacy is gone, where the emotional connection is gone, where obviously this person does not value the relationship, does not value you anymore in the relationship, does not wish to have the most intimate element of relationship with you. Like, why now would cruelty be a path to doing something that can help you do what you have to do without cruelty, which is a divorce? Because cruelty is a grounds for divorce in the Bahamas. The Bahamas have too many narrow grounds for divorce, mind you, causing people to have to structure cruelty arguments just to get out of the marriage, right? But there is something fundamentally wrong with our emotional maturity when we do not recognize when it is time to walk away in a relationship, and would prefer to resort to force to do so. Now, let me ask you another question. I want you to answer me. Now you have to bear with me, because some of you have a challenge when it comes to imagining things, right? And that's okay. So if you can't imagine this, just please do not answer. I want you to imagine that a man's wife is not interested to have sex with him. And he says in himself that under the laws of the Bahamas, I could have sex with her by force and I will not be raping her, therefore I shall do so. But then he remembers, listen to me now carefully. He remembers that that woman, even as sexy as she is, as beautiful as she is, as feminine as she looks, is so strong, so capable of the martial arts that she would kick my butt. There's no question in my mind that this woman would brutalize me physically if I made such an attempt. What do you think would happen? I want you all to answer that question for me, because you're going to get to the heart of this forced sex in a marriage in a minute. I want you to answer that question for me. How many women whose husbands refuse to have sex with them could force them to do so? How many women you think? And if a man knew that my butt would be kicked royally if I attempted to force myself on this woman, would do so? I want you all to answer that question. And then when you answer that question, we can get to another discussion about it. Please answer the question. I'm going to wait for your answers, please. Let me give you the scenario again. A man's wife is not interested to have sex with him. He's been saying that for weeks, months now. And he wants to have sex with her. And he knows that despite her beautiful, sexy body, very feminine looking body, that this woman is so equipped to kick his butt that if he tried that, he would end up in a hospital, if not dead. How many men do you think would forcefully have sex with their wife under those circumstances? This text says, I have to leave my car. But Z, by the time you get to the court, there are a plethora of issues going on. A man who treats his wife with love and respect, he can get anything from her. He won't try it if she is physically stronger than him. That's true. Anybody else? First of all, I want to fix something for y'all. I think it is generally true that if you treat a woman or a man with the amount of regard and love and care and tenderness and whatever that they want, that they will stay together for a long time, even though we know that the opposite is true too, because many a family stay together where abuse is prevalent for a long, long time, even for a lifetime. So don't let nobody fool you about that if you treat people bad, they won't stay with you. Listen to me. I know too many circumstances in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas where men treat women horrendously. Horrendously. And them women ain't going nowhere. Okay? So whatever the reason is, they ain't going nowhere. Also, though, don't let's be mistaken. There are men who treat their women extremely well, and for whatever reason, they decide, I don't want that too. I mean, it's a phenomenon that you can go on YouTube and read up all kind of why nice guys finish last, why women leave nice guys, why women don't fall in love, don't stay with nice guys. And so so don't let nobody fool you. Just recognize this, right? We have to stop a myth. You cannot control anybody's behavior. And any effort on your part to simply be the nicest human being on planet Earth and think that's going to do it, that's nonsense. Nonsense. Any given day, a person with whom you are with can decide, I don't want this anymore. And it don't have to be for any particular reason. It can be just they change. They decide something different. You know, I read something that said, when you get married, say I do 10 times. Say because the person you marry ain't going to be the person you are with a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, et cetera. And we all voluntarily agree to be with each other. And any day you decide, it don't have to be for any particular reason, you can decide to go. You can create a reason. You can create a narrative. Okay? So we don't have to, you cannot manipulate somebody into staying with you. You can't manipulate someone into being in love with you. Sometimes people get together for all the wrong reasons and it don't last. Sometimes they get together for all the wrong reasons and it lasts a very long time because they may find right reasons later on. Okay, one of the challenges with why we are having some of the problems we have with this thing called marital rape is because people believe they belong to the people. No, you don't own nobody. And the Bible don't teach that. No time. The Bible don't teach it. When we hear, the Bible says, your body is not your own, and so forth and so forth, that is not a matter of ownership. The only person who owns all us is Almighty God. What the Bible is saying is that when you enter into a union with somebody else, you have to recognize that you can no longer, as a matter of independent action and behavior, do what you want to do without regard to that person if you are going to continue in relationship to that person. But look what happens with us when we say we enter in relationship with God. How many of us fall back, sin, carry on stupid and what have you and so forth, but your body ain't your own, you belong to God, and all of a sudden you can act and do whatever you want, lie, cheat, kill, commit adultery, rape, and all that kind of stuff, and come back and say, oh Lord God Almighty, please forgive me. But your body is not your own. If your body was your own, why wouldn't God force you to do what he wants you to do? What would happen if that man knew that that woman could beat the living daylights out of him if he tried to have forceful sex with her? You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
I marched the car. The lady who run into me marched the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull up the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon, where we're talking about the ruling in the courts on the divorce petition, claiming the woman couldn't file for divorce on the grounds of marital rape, but she said she felt like a rape victim. It was the judge who said that she couldn't be a rape victim under the current laws of the Bahamas, but that what was done to her in her being forced to have sex was regarded as cruelty and granted the divorce on the basis of that cruelty. And, I'm trying to get at a number of things here, maybe not as eloquently or as systematically as I would like, but the first thing that I did want to make the point of and did make that point is you can't rape your wife under the laws of the Bahamas. So that's a fact, right? If rape is defined in law, you can't rape your wife under the law. If you talk about rape outside the law, as in your own conscience and how you describe the events of a forced sexual encounter, yes, then that's rape. To me, that's rape. But it don't have no legal standing. But what the courts now are saying is, it's cruelty to force your spouse to have sex. And therefore, at least in those circumstances described in this petition, therefore, you can get divorced on the grounds of cruelty. But to me, I'm trying to get at another basic point here, which is this. When you see people forcing people to have sex in or out of marriage, they do it because they feel they have the power to do it. If a single man don't do it, he gets his friends to help him so that he can do it in a group, right? Why? That's a question of use of power. That's all that is, because if they knew they couldn't do it, if the person would beat the hell out of them, they wouldn't do it. Okay, so the sex is the eventual outcome. And the arousal may be the drive. But the real crucible here is someone who feels they have power over somebody else to do what they're doing. And had the physiological circumstances been different, you wouldn't be worrying about this marital rape on the scale you're worrying about it. Because half the people you're talking about would be in the hospital or dead because a woman wouldn't let them do it to her. Wouldn't let them. So a man who is forcing a woman to have sex with him has to ask himself, what's wrong with my psyche? What is wrong with me? Because truly I am only doing this because I believe I have the power to do it. Because if I had not the power to do this, I wouldn't be doing this. Right? So you, this is more than just your right to have sex with your wife. This is more than that. This stretches beyond even that to some other realities. And so, you know, there's that to consider. The other thing to consider, to my mind, is what I talked about. What else is going on in your psyche? Where the obvious unwillingness of a person to be intimate sexually with you cannot be accepted and acknowledged with a view to the saying, you know what? There's something is wrong with this. And so therefore, I either get to the fundamental issue or I do something different other than forcing myself on this person. Let me tell you some of the things that may be going on. A fundamental immaturity in you, man, or you, woman. Fundamental immaturity, what do I mean? It is children mostly who are so focused on themselves that they are unable to consider the needs and wants and concerns of other people, and therefore will do whatever they have to do to fulfill their own needs above somebody else's and at somebody else's expense. And a mature adult does not do that. Not a mature adult. So you could be pastor, you could be teacher, you could be a politician elected, you could be a judge. If you are incapable of restraining yourself from meeting your needs, no matter what it costs and what it takes to do so, then there is a fundamental immaturity in you. See, and what people miss is this. Just because you are immature in some areas of your life doesn't mean you are that in every area. You know? So an immature person could be a wonderful pastor in terms of preaching, maybe even in terms of counseling, could be a wonderful person in terms of teaching, policing. It's the other elements of their life where the immaturity shows up. Because what happens with us is many of us exercise disciplines in the workplace, in social circles, in polite societies that we don't exercise at home because we have no need to do so, because the people at home we expose our shadows to. Because they don't punish us the way we get punished in polite society by doing what we might do there. There is a huge ostracism to be suffered in polite society and public for doing certain things. And so we have a certain existential survivalistic motivation to behave a certain way. But then you go home, take all your clothes off, take all your mask off, take all your pretenses off, and become your naked self. And if that naked self is cruel, if that naked self is violent and so forth, then the household gets to experience it that way. And in truth, all of us have conducts and behaviors, maybe not in the extreme, that we know that we do in our private lives that in polite society we would not do. Some people just have it at extremes, right? And I don't want you all to think that all men fall prey to the fact that if their wives ain't sleeping with them, they're going to resort to having sex forcefully with their wives. There are many men who don't do that. Many men who don't do that. They may do other things. You know, they may go out and get their needs met, but they don't force their wives to have sex with them. In fact, I will tell you, the strongest men don't do that. A strong man ain't gonna chase a woman who want him. Let me say that again to you. A strong man ain't gonna chase a woman who don't want him. A weak man chases a woman who don't want him. A weak man is saying to the woman, I need you. That's what he's saying. The weak man is saying to the woman, I can't live without you. That's what the weak man is saying. Anywhere you go, I go in. That's what the weak man is saying. The weak man is saying your rejection is too hard for me and I can't take it. That's what the weak man is saying. Oh, if you abandon me, I can't take it. I can't live. I can't function. I can't carry on. That's what the weak man is saying. The strong man is saying, listen, man, I love you and I want you, but if you don't want me, you know, thing, let me go. Let me go do my business. That's what a strong man says. That's a man who has emotionally come to terms with the fact that his value is inherent in himself and not dependent on some affirmation from some woman or some man. I might as well tell you, weak men don't chase women. Strong men don't chase women. A strong man may make an appeal to try and rectify a circumstance, to try and salvage a situation, to try to see if it's doable. But you ain't got to worry too long after that man, you say, listen, okay, well, boo. You do you. That's how it go. Because why else would you do anything else? If a person don't want you, what would you be saying by actually trying to force yourself on somebody who don't want you? You know the insanity of it? I want you to think about it this way. Your job, a job that you applied for, said, we don't want you. And you keep showing up at the people's job. You keep showing up. You trying to sit at the people's desk. You trying to go on the people's manufacturing line. You trying to go to the people's accounts department to get paid. What would you describe a person who does that as? Insane. That's what you would do. You go to get elected. The people, they vote against you. The count has been made. The formal petition has been put in. And you keep trying to force yourself, pretend that you are a member of parliament. What would people say of you? They'd call you insane. They would admit you eventually to Sandlands Rehabilitation Center for being psychologically warped. Well, if a woman don't want you, if a man don't want you, and you force yourself, you keep trying to force yourself on him, how is that any different than insanity? So whether the law wants to acknowledge that rape within a marriage is possible, there are many pragmatic, practical reasons why forcing someone to have sex in a marriage just is doggone stupid. Forget the religiosity of it. It's just utterly stupid. Pastor, you can get mad with Shivago lying. I understand. No problem. Go pray for me, even. But go tell God how much of a sin I am, because he already knows, okay? But let me tell you, forcing any man, forcing himself on a woman who does not want to be engaged sexually with him, is practically stupid. It's just stupid. Now, even if the woman is doing it maliciously, vilely, if she's acting stupid, it is stupider to force yourself on the woman. What's the sense? Unless you regard sex as merely for procreation, and so you're trying to have children to carry on your legacy, and that's the only woman on planet Earth to do so. And if you don't have sex with her so she could have a child and carry on the human race, unless that's answers, what if you are done with having children and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, why are you having sex with somebody who don't want to have sex with you? Because in those circumstances, it's supposed to be about intimacy. If it's only about meeting your biological need, if she don't want to have sex with you, I think God will understand if you have sex someplace else. I think so. I'm not saying he will say, oh, what a beautiful thing you're doing. I think he would much rather you be disciplined and get out that marriage and go on to do something else. But I don't think God is going to be absolutely angry with you because he understands and sees your biological need. But if this woman does not want to satisfy your biological need, forcing yourself on her makes you look like what? Like what? Right? She, in her mind, she whatever she has thought. That doesn't mean she's a wonderful human being. And some of us need to stop this. Trying to glorify the woman because she's the one with whom the person forced themselves. There's no glory there. too, because it could be that her behavior toward the man could have been cruel. Could have been. I don't know that to be true. I'm just saying, I'm not talking about the instance of this court case, mind you. I'm just saying a woman not wanting to have sex with a man, it could be a matter of cruelty on her part. She could just be being a bitter person. She could just be being a resentful person. She could just be being a spiteful person. She could be a person who saw some other man she wants and maybe even to be sleeping with some other man she wants and has decided I no longer want to sleep with him because I want to save myself for him. Don't men do it, women do it. Let's stop fooling ourselves. Men do it, women do it. We are all messed up. I'm not saying we all do it, but I'm just saying we all messed up in that way. As a grouping. Okay? So there are so many practical reasons that this don't make sense. Now, when we come back, I want to read a text that I think will get us to another point that this draws out. We'll be back after this break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabbat Relang, your host.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, Mr. Lang, these laws for divorce have to change. Religious foolishness is crazy. If both of us come to court and say we don't want to be married anymore, why a court needs some grounds? Why try to force us to stay together? We both want out. Give us our divorce. Forcing us to stay together only makes us hate each other and sometimes ends up in a crime. Change our laws. Very sensibly said. I mean, in a 21st century Bahamas, in a 21st century Bahamas, in a 21st century Bahamas. If I go to court, if somebody goes to court, if two people go to court, two human beings go to court, adult human beings, the court wasn't there when they got married, when they said yes. The court didn't say, no, you can't get married unless I say so. You can't have to adjudicate that you should get married. If the two people who voluntarily applied for a marriage certificate license go to a court and say, we no longer want to be together in a 21st doggone century Bahamas, you think it makes rational sense that a court can't say, yes, fine, you're two adult people. You could go have sex together. Y'all two could go and have sex to have a baby together. But you cannot go to a court and say, we simply want out. Instead of having to force me to give you a reason why we adult human beings want out, and you are telling me I have free agency over my life? That's nonsense. I mean, think about this. You tell the laws are saying, you cannot have you cannot you can forcibly have sex with a person. Forcibly have sex with a person. And that's not rape. Now, if you forcibly have some sex with a person, it's cruelty. But if the two of us go to court and simply say we want a divorce, it ain't cruelty to make us do so, stay together, unless we give you a reason. A reason? We need a reason to undo what we agreed to do? Seriously? Bahamas, grow up. Grow up. And nonsense. Now, you say, well, the reason we do that is we do that because we want to respect the institution of marriage. No state can cause marriage to be respected. The only people that respect marriage are the people in it. If you stay in a marriage that's dysfunctional, if you stay in a marriage that is filled with bitterness and resentment, what respect is that for the institution? You have children caught up in this embattlement of bitterness, observing these two people live in, one live in this room, the other one live in the next room, and so forth, and we think that we are doing them a favor. Well, you say you could separate. Of course you could separate, but you could also divorce if that's what you both desire. Right? Even, I think. It's insane. It really is. On the extreme end of it, where two people say, you know what? Enough. Why make these two people have to use, and look what they have to use. They have to use the adultery or cruelty. They can't even say, you know what? Your Honor, I can't. We have tried, but we can't even live together no more functionally. We can't. There's too much argumentation. There's too much disagreement. There's too much divergence in our views. We don't believe the same things. We don't want the same things. I don't want him. She don't want me. He don't want her. And you can't give him a divorce? Listen, man, all us lawmakers who've been in the Bahamas following up on these religious people with this nonsense, we failed in that regard to be enlightened. We did, right? I'm sorry. I love you all, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, all of you wonderful leaders and pastors in Christ Jesus. But in my mind, to my mind, you are wrong. You're wrong on this call. I think it's just there. You know what? Even the Bible, you know what Jesus, you say Jesus said only grounds for divorce is adultery. What's the underlying premise of adultery? Breach of trust. That's the underlying premise, you know. It's breach of trust. Well, you can only breach trust if you have sex outside your marriage. You can't breach trust any other way. Six things that the Lord hates. Seven an abomination there. A lying tongue is one of them. Consistently lying in a marriage doesn't breach the trust. Not wanting to be with somebody anymore. If you didn't want to be a Christian anymore, but God forced you to continue to be a Christian, I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Now, I think that we ought to take marriage more seriously. I really do. But where does that start? It starts in the home. With the way the two people in the home treat each other in respect of the marriage, if the children and the two people see the marriage as valuable and see each other as valuable and nourish and nurture the thing in such a way that it looks like a valuable thing, like a thing to be desired, then it elevates the esteem of marriage. Where else should it be? Before y'all pastors go ahead and counsel these people to get married, y'all should take it more seriously. I could tell you my own experience. Personally and observationally, broadly, haven't been active in the church for a long time, is pastors do not take marriage seriously. They do not. Pastors assume that because two people in the church, that they ready for marriage, and that's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. They do poor counseling of people when it comes to marriage. They don't give them good guidance at all. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them don't give good guidance at all. I think Pastor Miles used to give good guidance. Some of my pastor friends who I know, they some of them are much more serious than others, much more. But that would be a good place to start to continue to take marriage very seriously as well. Right there, right? The state could take marriage more seriously, not by forcing people to stay together, but by incentivizing people to stay together. What benefit do you have to be married under the laws of the Bahamas compared to being unmarried? Tell me anybody. What benefit? Any tax benefit? any home ownership benefit? Anybody? So, you know. Maybe it'll change. And I have no doubt it'll change. Honestly, I believe it will change. We'll have a more enlightened grouping in some of these circumstances. Well, I'm going to have to read some of these texts on the break, but I'll read some after the break, but I'll read some now. If some women know that they have a low sex drive or some medical problems, they shouldn't get married and vice versa. That's true. Especially if you know the man has a normal or high sex drive. That's true. You should really consider that because it's going to cause a problem in the marriage. That is true. But that's true for the man too, though. You're only doing like only minutes of sex. So listen, if you as a man who is gay, that you are more attracted to men than women, then you too should reconsider whether you should get married. Okay? How about that? You talking about only the woman alone? Okay? You should do that. If you're a man who know you ain't too into sex, you may be too religious for sex and all that kind of stuff, and so forth, and you know your woman has a healthy, normal sex drive, you too should reconsider whether you should get married or not, instead of discovering that in the marriage and all of a sudden causes problems. This text says he probably didn't want to have half of his assets taken, maybe. Half? Well, that is a consideration. The settling of assets always is a consideration, but I can tell you one thing, bro. I ain't forcing myself on no woman to protect no assets. I wouldn't even use the word to tell you what you'll be to do that. Okay? I wouldn't do that. I ain't doing that. That's nonsense. You can't walk away from a marriage somebody don't want you. You gonna force yourself on them because you wanna keep half of something? Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this news break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. So glad you could join us. If you want to call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us at 422-4796 or 439. You can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. We're talking about the ruling regarding the divorce petition in which the woman, the wife, said that she felt like a rape victim in a marriage. The courts didn't grant her a divorce on the basis of rape because the court told her that under the current laws of the Bahamas, rape in a marriage is not possible. But the court did grant that her husband forcing her to have sex was cruel, and that was the basis and grounds for her divorce. And it's so strange. Both of them are filing for a divorce. So why all of this had to come out when the courts could have, if the law permitted it, just simply say this and y'all go your way, since y'all don't want to be together no more, but that's not what happened. Let me tell you something that's insidious about all of this. On the one hand, you could say, okay, well, a woman can take him before the police and charge him with rape, but now she can go get a divorce on the grounds that he forced her to rape. So some people might say, oh, well, so that means that men should have to be more careful if they don't want the woman to divorce her. But let's think about how insidious that is. In the first place, they should be divorced. Because one person is saying, I do not want to give you the one cherished thing in this relationship that demonstrates our entire intimacy. They should be divorced to begin with. Some people might say, well, at the very least separated, because there's something wrong with that marriage. Okay, so it's insidious that has to be the case to begin with. The second thing that's insidious about it is you have to have the rape forced first before you could do it. And that's the indignity that a woman might say, or a man might say, I don't want to have to suffer in the first place, because maybe if he knew that this could be chargeable before the courts and he could be convicted of a crime for doing this, he wouldn't do this to me, as opposed to my merely having to say this could cause you to get a divorce. Right? Because I have to have the sex forced on me first. Right before you can do so. But it has moved the needle. It has moved the needle. So dudes have to think twice, for real, if they don't want a divorce. But if you get in a situation where you're going to have to force yourself on the woman because she don't want to have sex with you, or vice versa, like, it sounds to me like you're heading for divorce anyways. Or heading for something. Right? It's all tragic. It's all sad. I don't take it lightly. These relationships, they get together, whether the people are married or not married, and you love each other, and you say you love each other, and you're supposed to care about each other, and then all of a sudden it busts up and break up, missing man, beyond just the appearance of it, the heartbreak and heartache and emotional trauma that's involved with that. That's hard stuff. Let me tell you something, and people have to realize, you know, these traumas change you forever. You don't stay the same. That's why men who cheat on their wives, women who cheat on their wives, men and women who show other disloyalties to each other, men and women who lash each other with their words and so forth, man, we are traumatizing each other. We are traumatizing people, man. Let me tell you all something. So we shouldn't take this lightly, right? I mean, we're human beings. We're frail. We make mistakes or bad judgments or bad decisions, or we make decisions, judgments, period, that cause other people pain and harm when we don't intend it, but that's what happens. It's the trauma is real for people. Don't take it lightly. That's one of the things that happens. I mean, what happens with us is we do things to each other, men and women, you know, men and women, but mostly men in some instances of some things. And because we were the victims, we don't know how traumatized the woman is, the victim is. We don't get to feel that. We, in our own heads, we just, the shame and the guilt of it, we just trying to get as far away from it as possible. So we want to rush past the process of understanding and dealing with and settling the issue so that the person could find real and genuine healing. We don't do it. And so what happens is people go through their lives, men and women, immensely traumatized by these things. And while they function in the society, they function in their world, they even may appear happy, etc., it doesn't mean that there isn't real emotional pain still attached. And that someday some trigger could cause that emotional pain to get out of hand, you know? And so we shouldn't take lightly these human relationships that we have, especially on an intimate level, right? We should really see them for what they is. My brother, we all have a body. And if they bought these function well, at the sight of some good size, at the sight of some good attractive breasts and butts and face and whatever, we can get aroused. We know that. That can happen. That's not the thinking man doing that. That's the biological man. That's as natural as any dog in heat. There's nothing sophisticated about that. There's nothing wrong with it either. Okay? But when you follow through on that arousal, understand. Woman, when you follow through on that arousal, understand that there's an emotional interaction that's going to take place that has a meaning, in many instances, attached to it, unless the two people come at it as a transaction. So if you just hooking up with a prostitute, or you just hooking up with a one-night stand, and y'all both understand that, or even maybe a couple of night stands, you both understand that it may not do as much, even though there's still an emotional something involved, right? Because if that same prostitute is abused by you, is treated as a nobody by you in some way, she may not say so, but that may affect her, right? And so we have to understand then on a more sophisticated level, on a more meaningful level, where we say, this is the person I love, this is the person I like, this is the person I want. And things happen to crush people's emotions. There's a price to be paid for that. And the price is paid by the victim first, and then by yourself, and then by both of you, and then by the people around you. So it's a serious thing. And to me, right? I want you to consider how shallow this argument about marital rape is. It is shallow to me. Let me tell you why. It's shallow to me because this is about sex. This is about a hormone poured into your system, into your biology, that arouses your sex drive. For the man, gives you an erection you want to do something with. For the woman, gives you a stimulation you want to do something about. Right? That's what it is. We will elevate that above the dignity and wonderfulness of an emotional connection, of a spiritual commitment, of a relationship that in the Bible is compared to Christ and his church. I want you to imagine Christ holding down his church and jumping on top of it saying, I don't care if you don't want me, you can give it to me tonight. I want you to imagine that. Let me say it for you again. I want you to imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, who refers to the church as his bride, holding down that church, ripping off that church clothes and saying, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you want. You can give this to me tonight. Versus the Christ who knocks at the door, won't kick the door down, knock and says, if you open the door, I shall come in and sup with you and you with me. But sex is elevated. Fulfilling the sexual desire is elevated above the consensual supping together with Christ. For real? Seriously? And the church is supporting the state in this nonsense. The church is supporting the state in it. Because what has happened is these politicians, they are afraid of you. They are afraid of you. When I say the church, I don't just mean religious leaders. I'm talking about you, average Christian woman, man. You too, you're part of that same fear that has these politicians afraid to go change this law. You are a part of it. You telling them, they listening to you. If they thought that you couldn't care less, but this law would be changed tomorrow. You want me to tell you again? If they thought you would say to them, yeah, go change the law. It changed tomorrow. They ain't gonna change it because they ain't sure what you're doing. They're not sure where you are yet. What they think is that you are in the majority against it, and therefore they ain't gonna do nothing about it yet. That's what's happening. Anyway, let me read some of these texts for you. This text says, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Very good show as always. It appears that the marriage was in trouble for some time, and the best thing for that was to get a divorce. I read where he stated that he was good to her when she was sick, but she turned her back on him. In cases where there are definite signs the marriage is over, churches should stop trying to force couples to stay together. This can end up tragically. If you are unhappy to the extent no one can make you stay in a marriage, and when the intimacy is over, that is it. Sometimes we get married to say we are married or some other selfish reason. Man should never force himself on his wife. If he has to do that, it was over a long time ago. The goal in a marriage should be to make each other happy. It is better for children to grow up with happy parents than two miserable parents. Women have their reasons, just like men, for ending a marriage, nurse. Absolutely, no question about it. They all have their reasons. This text is, Mr. Lang, we don't have to imagine God doing things with vengeance because we need not look further than the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. There are many instances in the Bible where he punished his people by disobedience. This is such, listen to me. I'm not even going to go there with you because that is such brutal nonsense. You obviously don't read the scriptures. So wow. Sodom and Gomorrah is God forcing the people to do something. Okay, I got you, bro. I got you. Good point. Okay. Keep hopping your wife who don't want to sleep with you there. That man will quickly rethink that decision to take what he wants. That's right. If he thought the woman would beat the living daylights out of him, that's true. His text said, good afternoon, Mr. Lang. Mr. McCartney read the case on his show, and I seem to recall that the lady is a breast cancer survivor and has a double mastectomy, which the husband said he stood by her side and nursed her back to health. I am making the assumption that this may have had a part to play from a physical, physiological, and psychological perspective, as it did not seem that intimacy was always an issue. Could be, could very well be, okay? This text says, I do it kind of any women who can force their husbands to physically have sex with them. And similarly, I know not of any men that would engage in this force if they knew they would get a beating. Yeah, me on you. This judge should have given them both grounds for divorce because withholding sex in a faithful monogamous relationship is cruelty and should give him grounds for divorce. I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I agree with that. See, if you decide you ain't, listen, In our laws, we have something called reasonable expectation. So if the government used to give you something regularly and do something for you regularly, etc., it is possible to go and court where the government ceases to do that to say, I had a reasonable expectation of such and such happening. Even if in your relationship with somebody else, a partnership or something, something used to happen with great regularity and you become accustomed to it and it ceases and you go to court, you can argue that I had a reasonable expectation for such and such. When you get married, who don't have a reasonable expectation that we can have regular sex? I mean, come on. I mean, that's listen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that. All of a sudden now the sex stops. Well, there's a reasonable expectation that I would. So if you keep withholding, unless, as I said, there's a medical, physiological, some justifiable cause that the person should know, you know, under these circumstances, sex is not possible or practical, then there is and can be a cruelty to your withholding that sex, because there are women. Listen, women, don't get mad with Shivago line. Don't get mad with me. There are men who do this too, who withhold sex for punishment. They're punishing you. They're withdrawing that intimacy to punish you. And that's why it is called cruelty. So yes, it could be that that ground could have been given him for that too. But I mean, that's for the judge to decide based on all the circumstances and the weight of the circumstances. This Texas, that's why you don't get married. Hope people learn this soon. Really? All these beautiful marriages people have and what have you, and you say on that basis you shouldn't get married? Okay. This text says, historically, the law has looked favorably on female murder suspects. They say women who are abused over a period of time is subject to slow burn. Eventually, they could snap. Man who chooses to continue to rape his wife could one day suffer from a sudden outburst that results in his death. The law must be changed, as I believe it's a human right for a woman to be free from rape. But that's the question that I have. That's the question that I have. And if you are a lawyer out there and you have a view on this, et cetera, I'd love to hear it. Do we have a fundamental right and agency in our bodies? Do we? I mean, really, do we have a fundamental right? Is agency to ourselves a fundamental right? And if it's not, how do we explain the prohibition of slavery? Even a prisoner cannot be forced to work and be paid subpar or to not be paid for his labor. A prisoner, a convicted criminal cannot be so abused in that way for his labor. So he has agency in his labor. But a woman has not agency in her body. Even in the context of a marriage, I could listen. If you were in a loving relationship and your wife said, bro, not tonight. Love says, understood, honey. If the following night or day, wife says, not, no, son, no, honey. If she continues to do that, when the light bulb will go off inside of you and say, you know, something ain't right here. But does this woman have agency in her body? Does she have a fundamental right to say no? Our law says no. And I'm wondering if that's not contradicted by the Constitution. I'm wondering if anybody has ever challenged that under the Constitution, the Marriage Act of the Bahamas, which makes forced sexual relations in a marriage not a crime. I wonder if it cannot be challenged that under the Constitution, that is a breach of a person's fundamental rights. I wonder. If a lawyer, listen, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just asking. I'm asking the question. So, hi, Mr. Lang, great show. Some of these husbands be out all night coming home. 3 a.m. next morning, ain't no woman want no sex. He could be bringing you some kind of disease. Any disease, this decent man won't be out that kind of hours. That's a turn off. That's my take. Okay. But every man who's out 3 o'clock in the morning ain't out necessarily doing nonsense. Sometimes he could be driving long. So you ain't gonna find too many Bahamians trying to force themselves on a workplace that tell them we don't want you. I don't care what you say. The stack says, see live, if men could experience the fear some women have for their lives from men, many would check themselves, but they don't. And sadly, they love that power of control. You're right. You're 100% right. I love the way you put that too. If they could feel the fear women have of men, yeah, I agree with that. And they do, you know. I mean, listen, you could be in a decent, wonderful relationship and still your woman may not be like, she might not be like horror movie scared of you, but there's a understanding she has of who has a certain kind of power, physical, financial, and other. And it can be fearful for them. Because they're not always only thinking about themselves, they're thinking about their families and what your withdrawal, your behavior could mean to the whole. And that can be fearful. This text says, so what do you call what Trump is doing? He was rejected overwhelmingly. I'm not going there. This text says, Mr. Lang, if a spouse continues and refuses to have sex with their spouse, is that considered cruelty? And if it is that grounds for divorce? Yes, it is. Right now, under the laws of the Bahamas, if your wife leaves your marital bed and refuses to have sex with you, you can go to court and on the basis of cruelty, file for divorce. You can. Yes, you can. Today. This text says, but Lang, you was once part of the lawmakers in this country. Why didn't push for it when you was in office? Didn't you hear me say I was among them who failed? Yeah, okay. Slap me, Jack. Beat me with it. Kick me, stump me with it. You're right. You know, we didn't do it. No. And honestly, wasn't even on my radar. I ain't gonna lie to you. But that doesn't change the fact that if something elevates as a discussion and something comes on the radar, I can talk about it and I can say what I believe about it too. If you want to call me negligent, derelict, go right ahead. Go right ahead, please. This text says, Mr. Lang, you are quite right. When a woman seeing another man, she refuses a husband. A God-fearing man would not force himself on his wife. But it hurts because you do not want to go outside of the home. Women can be mischievous. They would do whatever it takes. Remember, a woman was never mandated to love a man, but a man as intended by God to love, he would not force his wife. I agree with you 100%. You don't want to go outside the home. You don't want to, but bro, would you rather force your wife or get somebody who voluntarily wants to give it to you? Which one do you think it is? Now, the most character thing you could argue is you stay celibate. That's the most character. But I think everybody ain't gonna do that. Stack says, great show. A lot of these men that support the current laws would not want their daughters to be in a marriage with that situation with a husband. Wow. Wow. That's the doggone truth. I just want them to picture their daughter getting that. First of all, picture your daughter continuously refusing her husband and think about what you'd say to her. He said, but darling, if you don't want this man like that anymore, You should get out of the marriage. Y'all should do some counseling. See if you can't wake it up. But if you can't, you should get out of the marriage. And then think about your son-in-law and say, bro, let me explain something to you. I check. She is no longer interested in you sexually. She does not. Something is wrong with this relationship. You need to get out of this. Now, let me explain something to you. If you force my daughter to have sex, it's gonna be a problem. I'm gonna tell you no lie. So my suggestion to you, man, is leave that woman alone, but she got issues. Leave her, son. Go find you somebody who wants you. Don't be with nobody who don't want you. Okay, if they want something else, let them go get what they want. Let them go after what they want. Don't get yourself in no problems for that. You my brother, you my son-in-law, I love you. And even if you ain't my son-in-law, I'm going to love you. But don't get yourself in no trouble for that nonsense, man. Do not diminish your own character and dignity by resorting to forcing her to do nothing. I know how you feel about it, but son, leave her. Don't chase no woman don't want you. Don't go after nothing don't want you. Let them go. His text says, did the guy admit to raping her? Her line? Well, he couldn't admit to raping her. He did not deny forcing her to have sex. He didn't deny it. I didn't see anything that sort of showed that. His text says, I like how all of Guardian hosts from the conception are on the gender-biased SJW run all the time. Yep, y'all definitely making this country better by disenfranchising one side and making the divide bigger. And no, I don't agree with rape of any kind. Okay, you've had your say. We're the Guardian. We got a plot gun. It says, good day, Mr. Lang. All I can say is when a man crosses the line, which is different for each woman, no money, counseling, begging, words, or action will change our minds. We are done. Sexual violation, not love. True, absolutely. That's true. When a woman done, she done. She done. You could beg and plead all you want. When she done, she done. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand.
How important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon. You can call us on 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can also text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says the court is actually forcing adultery just to get out of marriage, but I know one thing, prepare to give that woman half. Okay. It says, great show. As usual, I think people don't know one another before they get married. A friend of mine got married after meeting the female for 4 months. The gal looked good, but that one dumb reason to get married one for sex and two because the woman is a trophy. Says, Mr. Lang, could you wish Naughty, aka Lil Dippy, happy birthday? Oh, Naughty, it's your birthday today, man. Happy birthday, bro. Happy, happy birthday, my friend. Says, celibacy in the Bahamas, that won't happen, and men should not force sex, step out of marriage, but don't get catch. Hard grits don't feel good. Ah, you know. You had hard grits. So good day, Lang, good show. I don't think no government won't pass the law on marital rape. Maybe not. This text says, good afternoon, Brother Lang. Great show as usual. I agree that a judge should not be able to keep two people together who are in a miserable marriage. I don't believe the government should only listen to the Christian Council on this matter, but due to them being a small portion of society and many of them have very narrow and unbiblical views on many matters that are negatively affecting our way of life. Okay. I wanna let y'all in on something. Like when somebody leaves you, right? Or somebody is denying you. Like what a lot of men and women have to ask, particularly men, is the pain you're feeling really about all that, all the value you place in them? Or is the pain you're feeling about all the value you thought you placed in yourself? Meaning, is it that you are losing something so valuable to yourself that you are hurt, that you are losing it? Like when people lose their homes, lose their a bigger job, etc., they really feel that because they have a sense that, wow, you know what that means for me. But sometimes when you lose somebody, like you asking yourself, is it really that all kinds of things they brought into my life I'm now going to lose? Or is it that you just feel humiliated? You feel rejected. And it's really the hit on your ego that's causing you the most pain rather than the actual loss of the person. Because let me tell you something, what I believe. This is just my theory of the case. I think some of these men who forcing their wives to have sex ain't have nothing to do with the sex, you know. It's like they are trying to continue to lay claim to this piece of thing that is theirs. That's what they're doing. They're frightened as hell. She's moving away. She's abandoning me. She's rejecting me. She's separating from me. She's gonna leave. She's gone. And maybe there's somebody else. And by this sex, I'm hoping that I can put my stamp on it again. And in some way that changes things for me. It certainly will change how my ego feel about itself. Not about her. About you. So the forced sex is more about the deficiency in you, about an unresolved sense of esteem you have, than it actually is about the commitment you say this person who should love you should have to you. Careful. Be careful how your mind tricks you. Makes you think you're doing things for reasons when it ain't have nothing to do with the reason you're really doing what you're doing for. The ego is a deceptive thing. It is brutally wicked, the ego can be. The ego demands attention and demands its needs to be met and really doesn't care how it is done. Not the ego, the conscience. The conscience checks the ego and says there's ways to do things, you know. The ego don't care. How I eat, I thief, I steal, I pick it up the garbage, I don't care. The conscience says, well, what kind of nastiness is that? The ego don't care. And when a man feels like he's being rejected, when a man feels like he's being abandoned, when a man feels like he's being alienated, his ego steps up and blows up. And that ego only wants soothing. And it's a desperate cry. And I'm not criticizing the man. I'm talking about the dynamics of some women should understand that too. So women should understand what they are up against too when they are dealing with people and understand that ain't all the brethren you dealing with on the same maturity level, Jack. Some of the men occupying that adult body ain't nothing but a child in the mind. And just like children is cry and whine and pant and kick up and fuss up and manipulate and all that kind of stuff, men, adult men, the children's mind can do that. And so again, adult women, the children's minds can do that. And life becomes all about them. They may be in crisis, but make their crisis about you. Sometimes that woman could be transitioning in her life and she's in crisis, but she's putting that crisis on you. And so the lack of sex and the lack of intimacy and the lack of affection is nothing but her own personal identity crisis she's going through that you are now at the center of. And so what she's doing is trying to resolve this turmoil in her own self, projecting that on you, and now you are the victim of that. Sometimes a man is doing the same thing. He is in his own transition. He's in his own crisis. And he's taking that crisis that he is in because of his own personal conflicts and pain, and he's putting that on you, the woman. And because we are blind to it, don't have the appropriate professional intervention in it, we struggle, we hurt, and we're crushed. We don't know what to do. And sometimes these things result in some of the behavior that we see taking place, and we are hurting each other. Not because we like really, literally, maliciously want to. It's because we are lost. We don't know what to do. We're out there on a limb, hoping for rescue. Right? And we're scared, and we're panicking, and we're floundering. And it's causing all kinds of challenges. Right? But if you're an adult and you decide and make up your mind, you want to go this way and that way and the next way, nobody can control you. And you shouldn't try to control nobody. You are fighting a futile battle, trying to control somebody, trying to keep what can't be kept, trying to let go what won't be let go, trying to keep down what won't be kept down, trying to put up what can't be put up. You can't do it. I can't do it. And so acceptance and acknowledgement of reality is what is necessary, because all emotional pain that we feel is nothing more than our disconnect between reality and what we would like life to be. You can't bend reality. You could bend your mind, though. Right? You could bend your mind. And sometimes that is what is necessary, and that'll keep you from forcing yourself on somebody, at least trying to do so, and causing all kinds of emotional and physical trauma, psychological trauma, spiritual breaches, unnecessary for yourself and for the people you say you love. Love, if nothing else, is gentle, is kind and humble. And it is when we fail to exercise these great virtues of gentleness and humbleness and kindness is when we get ourselves in trouble. I know it's happened to me. You know. So I'm saying to you today, let's take this journey together of elevating our understanding. Listen, man, the law is the minimal thing we can do to advance our society. It's the minimum. It's not the maximum, it's the minimum. So where the law is unwilling to give us a prescription, unwilling to give us a boundary, let's take the boundary through love. Love is the highest means of elevating a society, not the law. The law is for base men and women. The law is for breaches of the law. The law is for the unrighteous. The law is for the immoral. The law is for the unethical. I mean, literally, right? A person who is inclined to do good always, inclined to pursue righteousness and pursue justice, etc., but they don't need no law. They are law to themselves. But we have to have the law because some of us don't know. Some of us don't care to know. Some of us don't care. But love, we can take that. We don't need no politician to give us no love. We don't need no law to give us love. We don't need no court to settle on love for us. We don't need that. And love can say, listen, sweetie, I've observed our conduct over the last year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It is clear to me that you and I, or at least you, no longer share the same feelings for me you did. And I no longer maybe even share. I care about you, but if we can't function together, we can't be together, let's separate. Let's do something different. Let's divorce. Because I do not wish to deteriorate into something that causes us to reflect the worst part of humanity in the way we behave toward each other. And I'm okay with that. It'll hurt. It'll be difficult. And I'm okay with that. That's the love. That's love, not the law, that'll do that for you. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll take our final break. And when we come back, we will wrap up our discussions. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody. Come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm. Let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Your child's future is full of super possibilities, so you need a super college savings plan to match. With an RF educational investment account, you can get returns well above the traditional savings account. You can use the funds to cover a variety of educational expenses at home or abroad. And if things don't go as planned, the funds are easily transferable. Plan for all your child's super possibilities with the RF Educational Investment Account. Get started today at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, everybody, come take my hand.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. I'm so glad you could join us for these remaining moments of the show. We've been talking about this court case in which the marital rape issue came up, and the courts now say, well, you know, I can't convict a man of rape in his marriage or a woman, but it is cruel to force yourself on your spouse. And on the basis of that cruelty, I can grant a divorce. I have a question for you guys. Do you think that passing a marital rape law is going to end marital rape? Probably not, right? But we don't expect it to. That's as having laws against murder doesn't stop murder or rape. It just lets people know where the bounds are, and it does probably discourage some people from doing it too. Yeah, I believe that entirely. But it won't stop. But I do know, I do believe that if we can do better at growing as human beings, at maturing, and by maturing I mean recognizing that I matter, but other people really matter too. And that my needs, I would want and wish to be met, but not at the expense of the needs of others. And that there has to be a negotiated situation in many circumstances of my interaction with people, and that the world that I live in isn't perfect and doesn't always go my way. And I have to acknowledge that and have to adjust and adapt to that, that I am not the person I think I am. I'm not always the glorious soul. I'm not always a perfect person. I have flaws and faults, and I have to acknowledge that. And therefore, when I see it in other people, I have got to give some regard to that as well. That grace and kindness and gentleness are virtues that I have to practice in my interactions with people. And yes, I have to acknowledge my feelings, my fears, my anger, my sadness, and these kinds of things. And I have to find ways to deal with them that doesn't cause me to lash out to my injury or the injury of other people, that we could grow in that way. We could grow in love. Because at the end of the day, I think that more than any marital law, rape law, more than any court could do, the extent to which we can grow in this way, in maturity and in love, might allow us to avoid some of the very painful circumstances that we confront in relationships, even when we decide, as mature people, we must part our ways, but not in hate, not in bitterness, not in resentment, and not in foolish treatment of each other. Because notwithstanding, inasmuch as I am admonished to love my enemy, I still love you. And that's the bottom line. And as I leave you today, I want to leave you with a song that captures, I think, in many ways, what needs to exist to cause love to prevail in a marriage and relationship. You all have a great day. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. God spares life.
I found love in you, and I've learned to love me too. Never have I felt that I could be all that you see. It's like our hearts have intertwined into the perfect harmony. This is why I love you. Ooh, this is why I love you. Because you love me. You love me. This is why I love you. Ooh, this is why I love you. Because you love me. In you, and no other love will do. Every moment that you smile chases all the pain away. Forever and a while, in my heart is where you'll stay. This is why I love you. Ooh, this is why I love you. Because you love me. You love me. This is why I love you. Oh, this is why I love you. Because you love me. The stars have all aligned, and right now is the perfect time to say, I love you, 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 I do. This is why I love you. This is why I love you. Because you love me. I felt love in you, and no other love will do. That's why I love you.
Take a stand, take a stand, everybody.